alternativeradio.org. That's alternativeradio.org.
Many people who regard themselves on the left supported Bush's attack on Afghanistan. That the CIA had supported Osama bin Laden was ignored, that the Clinton administration had secretly backed the Taliban, even giving them high-level briefings of the CIA, is virtually unknown in the United States. The Taliban were secret partners with the oil giant Unocal in building an oil pipeline across Afghanistan. And when a Clinton official was reminded that the Taliban persecuted women, he said, "We can live with that." There is compelling evidence that Bush decided to attack Afghanistan not as a result of 9/11, but 2 months earlier in July 2001. This is virtually unknown in the United States, publicly, like the scale of civilian casualties in Afghanistan. To my knowledge, only one mainstream reporter, Jonathan Steele of The Guardian in London, has investigated civilian casualties in Afghanistan. His estimate is 20,000 dead civilians, and that was 3 years ago. The enduring tragedy of Palestine is due in great part, to the silence and compliance of the so-called liberal left. Hamas is described repeatedly as sworn to the destruction of Israel. The New York Times, Associated Press, the Boston Globe, take your pick. They'll all use this line as a standard disclaimer, and it's false. Even more important, that Hamas has undergone an historic ideological shift in the last few years, which amounts to a recognition of what it calls the reality of Israel, is virtually unknown. And that Israel is sworn to the destruction of Palestine is unspeakable. There is a pioneering study done by Glasgow University on the reporting of Palestine. They interviewed young people who watched TV news in Britain. More than 90% thought the illegal settlers were Palestinian. The more they watched, the less they knew, in Danny Schechter's famous phrase. The current most dangerous silence is over nuclear weapons and the return of the Cold War. The Russians understand clearly that the so-called American defense shield in Eastern Europe is designed to subjugate and humiliate them. Yet the front pages here talk about Putin starting a new Cold War, and there is silence about the development of an entirely new American nuclear system called Reliable Weapons Replacement, RRW, which is designed to blur the distinction between conventional war and nuclear war, a long-held ambition. In the meantime, Iran is being softened up, with the liberal media playing almost the same role it played before the Iraq invasion. And as for the Democrats, look at how Barack Obama has become the voice of the Council on Foreign Relations, one of the propaganda organs of the old liberal Washington establishment. Obama writes that he wants the troops home, and I quote, "We must not rule out military force against long-standing adversaries such as Iran and Syria," unquote. Listen to this from the liberal Obama, and I quote, "At moment of great peril in the past century, our leaders ensured that America, by deed and by example, led and lifted the world, that we stood for and fought for the freedom sought by billions of people beyond our borders," unquote. You know, that's the nub of the propaganda, the brainwashing, if you like, that seeps into the lives of every American, and many of us who are not Americans, from right to left, secular to God-fearing. What so few people know is that in the last half century, United States administrations have overthrown 50 governments, many of them democracies. In the process, 30 countries have been attacked and bombed with the loss of countless lives. Bush bashing is all very well and is justified, but the moment we begin to accept the siren call of the Democrats' drivel about standing up and fighting for freedom sought by billions, the battle for history is lost, and we ourselves are silenced. So what should we do? That question, often asked in meetings I've addressed, even meetings as informed as those in this conference, is itself interesting. It's my experience that people in the so-called third world rarely ask the question because they know what to do. And some have paid with their freedom and their lives, but they knew what to do. It's a question that many on the democratic left, small d, have yet to answer. Real information, subversive information, remains the most potent power of all, and I believe we must not fall into the trap of believing that the media speaks for the public. That wasn't true in Stalinist Czechoslovakia, and it isn't true in Bush's United States. In all the years I've been a journalist, I've never known public consciousness to have risen as fast as it's rising today. Yes, its direction and shape is unclear, partly because people are now deeply suspicious of political alternatives and because the Democratic Party has succeeded in seducing and dividing the electoral left. And yet this growing critical public awareness is all the more remarkable when you consider the sheer scale of indoctrination, the mythology of a superior way of life, and the current manufactured state of fear. Why did the New York Times come clean in that editorial last year? Not because it opposes Bush's wars. Look at the coverage of Iran. That editorial was a rare acknowledgement that the public were beginning to see the concealed role of the media, that people were beginning to read between the lines. If Iran is attacked, the reaction and the upheaval cannot be predicted. The National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive gives Bush power over all facets of government in an emergency. It's not unlikely the Constitution will be suspended, the laws to round up hundreds of thousands of so-called terrorists and enemy combatants are already on the books. That's not paranoia. To be understanding of that. I believe that these dangers are understood by the public, who have come a long way since 9/11, and a long way since the propaganda that linked Saddam Hussein to Al-Qaeda. That's why they voted for the Democrats last November, only to be betrayed. But they need truth. And journalists ought to be agents of truth, not the courtiers of power. I believe a fifth estate is possible, the product of a people's movement that monitors, deconstructs, and counters the media, the corporate media. In every university, in every media college, in every newsroom, teachers of journalism and journalists themselves need to ask themselves about the part they now play in the bloodshed in the name of a bogus objectivity. Such a movement within the media could herald a perestroika of a kind we've never known. This is all possible. Silences can be broken. In Britain, the National Union of Journalists has undergone a radical change and has called for a boycott of Israel. The website medialens.org has single-handedly called the BBC to account. In the United States, wonderfully free, rebellious spirits populate the web. I can't mention them all here, but from Tom Feely's International Clearinghouse to Mike Albert's ZNet to Counterpunch Online and the splendid work of FAIR. The best reporting of Iraq appears on the web. Dar Jamal's courageous journalism and citizen reporters like Joe Wilding, who reported the siege of Fallujah from inside the city. In Venezuela, Greg Wilpert's investigations turned back much of the virulent propaganda now aimed at Hugo Chavez. Make no mistake, it's the threat of freedom of speech for the majority in Venezuela that lies behind the campaign in the West on behalf of the corrupt RCTV. The challenge for the rest of us is to lift this subjugated knowledge from out of the underground and take it to ordinary people. We need to make haste. Liberal democracy is moving to a form of corporate dictatorship. This is an historic shift, and the media must not be allowed to be its facade, but itself made into a popular, burning issue and subjected to direct action. That great whistleblower, Tom Paine, warned that if the majority of the people were denied the truth and the ideas of truth, it was time to storm what he called the Bastille of words. That time is now. Thank you. That's a very important question about what's happening to Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera really cut through this in its coverage. It had reporters on the ground in Afghanistan, in Iraq, with the people actually describing what had happened, and its cameras showed what had happened. And I admired a lot of its frontline reporting. I thought this was real frontline reporting again. Al Jazeera has come under huge pressure from Washington. The emir of Doha, who has managed to allow Al Jazeera to have the freedom it's had, at the same time as a few minutes away, host one of the big American bases in the Middle East, has come under huge pressure from Washington to shut them up. Well, of course, the Al Jazeera correspondents were murdered by the American military in Afghanistan. But that message wasn't really taken, so the greater pressure is now being applied. As a result, Al Jazeera has been importing a lot of what I'd call BBC people from Britain, such as David Frost and others of the professional, respectable media, in order to promote its English language services. I think it's very important that Al Jazeera, what is happening inside Al Jazeera, becomes a media issue for all of us, because it broadcasts to millions of people throughout the Middle East and has given them, most of them living in autocracies and dictatorships, has given them free information for the first time, and that should not be allowed to be diluted.
So yes, we all agree that the media, the corporate-run media, are basically liars, but if most of what the United States government does is common knowledge, how much responsibility does the U.S. public have for believing what the media tell them?
Yeah, we can't, and I hope the point of my remarks earlier was that we can't go on saying that the corporate media lies to us. I believe the responsibility is on us to make the connection with ordinary people. It's far too easy to say that the American public or the public in any country is supine. I can assure you that as I've worked within the so-called mainstream media, one of the features of discussion in a newsroom is often a barely veiled contempt for the readers or viewers or listeners. Where I started journalism in Australia, the word apathy, I had to go and look it up in the dictionary, I think, earlier on, but the entire population were apathetic. Forget the great struggles that had gone on in the country. Well, yes, we were meant to forget them. And the whole idea of believing that a population is supine, you convince yourself. This is not to deny, and I believe the United States is probably the prime example of this, that of a mythologies, House of Light on the Hill, all that stuff that Reagan pushed out and that every president has pushed out, that institutions push out, the schools push out, over and over again. what's it called, exceptionalism. I used to say, when they used to accuse me of being often in Britain, and I'd be working from here and sending reports back of being anti-American, which was absurd because all my the millions of people of Americans were then anti-Americans as well. The whole notion of that is so ridiculous. I suppose what I'm saying is that we can't accept that, that behind often a conservative front of ordinary people, there is an extraordinary scope for understanding, especially these days. People are angry and frustrated. I just tell this one story briefly. I wrote a series of articles some years ago about a town in Ohio called Bealsville. Bealsville had one of the highest death rates of its young men in the Vietnam War. In fact, their gravestones overlooked the high school football field where they had played. It had that kind of symbolism. Bealsville was just about as conservative as you could imagine. And yet, what had happened to their sons, and the way they had been lied to, that their sons had not died in heroic action, but had often been killed by their own forces, or had, by accident, or something terrible and awful and unnecessary had happened to them. It's not that they rejected the idea the son should not die for a cause, if it was a cause. It was their awareness, which happened in a very short time, of what had happened to them, changed the character of that town and everybody in it. I went back something like 5 years later to talk to them, and it was as if there'd been a metamorphosis. Now, okay, that doesn't happen to everybody. Not everybody loses sons, fortunately. But that's the kind of facade behind which there is a huge potential for change among ordinary people, and why we should not dismiss them in the way that they are so often dismissed within the corporate media.
I just had a follow-up question about what you commented on earlier regarding some of the so-called mainstream journalists that you know that it will tell you in public about their admittance of complicity and, you know, their work in helping sell the war and occupation. I wanted to hear what your experience is as to why these folks won't, aside from job security and that kind of thing, why they won't band together and go public or make a move like that.
Well, I think there are many reasons. You mentioned job security. I mean, the seduction of journalists by the corporate world is quite something. You know, for all of my career working for British newspapers, journalists were paid enough. We were well paid, but we weren't in the top bracket by any means. Journalists now, particularly in the United States, and perhaps this has always been true in television, I think, have been given a sort of Aladdin's cave. You know, they do get huge salaries with all the stock options and so on that go. So they become part of the system, and they have a lot, they think, materially to lose. So that seduction is very, very real on certain journalists. I mean, the person that one of the people I was referring to, in fact he has gone public, is Chuck Lewis, who was the former 60 Minutes reporter, who went off, wonderful investigative journalist, who went off and helped to found the Center for Public Integrity in Washington. And he said that without doubt that had the corporate media done its job, as he says, lived up to its constitutional responsibilities, constitutionally the freest press in the world, the war wouldn't have happened. It just would not have happened, such as its power. But of course we saw the default of that power, and the war was promoted through the media. But I suppose the short answer to that, that people in the corporate world, in the corporate media, are internalized. They're groomed, they're trained, often without knowing it. You know, I've had discussions with people who really have stood in front of me and telling me how impartial they are and how objective they are, as if they've sort of risen to a nirvana, you know? And up there, BBC are good at this. And the moment they use that word, I know they're not. I know they're not. But that cult, almost, it's a super cult of the respectable media. And it's promoted by great, august bodies like the Columbia School of Journalism, you know, which hand down tablets of sort of things, you know. And it's all pompous and a lot of rubbish, a lot of it, because it's, you know, journalism is about trying truthfully as possible to find out what the hell is going on without fear or favour, and keeping the record straight. And it is about humanity. And it's, above all, it is not believing any official lie. You know, not believing the press. You know, that's why I love quoting endlessly, and everyone who's listened to me has heard that Claude Coben quote so often about not believing anything until it's officially denied. And it's absolutely true. That's what journalism is. But none of that ethos, if you like, is ever promoted in media colleges. In fact, the opposite. You know, you have people often who are running media colleges who are themselves former BBC or CBS or so on. So I think it's about training, and it can be subliminal, it can be overt, it can take various forms, but that doesn't mean to say that we as journalists ought not to be aware of it.
You were just listening to John Pilger on Lapdogs with Laptops. This classic from the AR Archives was recorded in 2007. John Pilger was an internationally renowned award-winning journalist and documentary filmmaker. WikiLeaks called him a ferocious speaker of truth to power. He was a friend and ally, and I'll miss him. He passed away on December 30th, 2023. This program is produced by Alternative Radio. We're an independent nonprofit in our 38th year. We're supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature such voices as Noam Chomsky, Chris Hedges, and Arundhati Roy. And we have a series of programs with John Pilger. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. For copies of today's program, John Pilger on Lapdogs with Laptops, and for Noam Chomsky's book, The Essential Chomsky, just call us 1-800-444-1977. That's 1-800-444-1977. Or online, our website, alternativeradio.org. That's alternativeradio.org. Printed transcripts, PDFs, and MP3s of this program are free of charge. Just call us, 1-800-444-1977. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamyan. Thank you for listening. We go out with Chumbawamba. Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Misinformation.
Taking scissors to play with the black folk down in Florida. Colored pens and for sexing up the. I'm the someone who knew. They're not telling pre-September. I lean on in the loop to help them unremember.
Flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But
in the canteen down at Columbine, with the
bags they never found,
striking matches up at
Waco
when they
burnt it
to the ground. Without me,
Oklahoma
wasn't
possible
at all.
See my silhouette
in the Super 8
around
the grassy knoll.
Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canadaland, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.